Our scripture this morning will be out of the book of 2 Thessalonians, and we'll be reading chapter 2, and that's on page 1796 in your companion Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not so soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that, when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
This morning I want to look at this subject, the two natures and our soul, being that this is the beginning of a new year, and I suppose you've all made your New Year's resolution, which is a good thing, except that you probably already broke some of them, if you're like me. Most of them, of course, are negative anyway, not all that important maybe. I made one, though, that I have never broken. Several years ago, I vowed, made a resolution to never make another New Year's resolution. But each of you know that it's sometimes hard to keep that kind of commitment, New Year's resolutions. Maybe they're not made at New Year's, but they're made at other times during the year. And so in looking at this subject, the two natures of our soul, turn with you, Will, in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we want to look at chapter 5 of Galatians to begin with, and we want to look at first verse 17 to get some insight into this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But, verse 18, if we be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murderers, drunkenness, revelings and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So, let's look back at verse 1 of Galatians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. Liberty and freedom are usually misunderstood, but there is hope. These two words, liberty, this being spoken of here in verse 1 of that chapter, liberty and freedom are often used interchangeably, but properly speaking, there's a difference. Liberty hints or has the connotation of previous restraint. Freedom does not. Hence, a slave is set at liberty, not freedom. But a rude person expresses their rudeness not with too much liberty, but with too much freedom. We see this all the time in our culture today, in protests, for example, where people have the freedom to go about and stop traffic in protest and so forth. So there's a subtle difference there to understand these two things. So we then, according to verse 1, the Christian at liberty needs to stand fast in liberty. But stand fast from what? Well, I have three things for your thinking this morning that I want to present. The first of these is the bondage of the flesh, sin and death. There in Galatians, turn back to chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then another verse with regard to that, we find in Romans chapter 9. Back up to Romans chapter 7, not 9. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, that I would, do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, the bondage of the flesh is to sin and death. The second thing I would point out is the carnal mind. There in Romans, turn over to chapter 8, another page in your Bible there. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of the sin flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but that they are after the Spirit do things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Liberty from a deviant mind. Scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Closely linked to the heart, Christ says himself that in Matthew, that out of the heart proceedeth evil thought. So these two things, the bondage of the flesh, which we find ourselves to, the carnal mind is what we become liberated from. And then the third thing I would point to is there in Romans, go back to chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye members your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. You know, those three things we are at liberty from: the bondage of the flesh, the carnal mind, and the sinful nature that is a part. And it's not your fault. That sin nature came into being with the first man, Adam. It's there. It's in the flesh. It's in the DNA. One of the things is obvious, of course, that Scripture does not flatter human nature, not even its heroes. Is anything about the flesh good with regard to Scripture, but it shows the true colors of the flesh, counter to humanism. You know, we hate to be told the things that are wrong. Nevertheless, these things that Scripture talks about end up in death. So, if we are then at liberty, what are we freedom to? Well, we're freedom to the new nature, the new man, the inward man. We are free to take part in that, set free from the sin and death by the death and resurrection of Christ himself. In spite of popular belief, the world and the flesh are never changed or improved. It's humanist thinking to think that you can make the world a better place. It's humanist thinking to think that you can make the flesh a better place. And God does not patch or improve what man has marred. And that's where we stand today as a result of Adam and a result of man. There needs to be a new heaven and a new earth. Of course, that's God's plan for the ages. God does not patch what man has marred. Thank God he starts afresh. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A divine gift, that is, to one who believes. That's where we stand. Peter confirms, turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1. Can't read my own writing. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as he has divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, there's a big however that I want to stick in. However, these two natures, the old and the new, cannot operate at the same time. So how do you shut down one, the good or the bad? How do you shut down one? Well, first, liberty is not a license to sin. You remember what Galatians 5:13 said with regard to that, the verses that we read? Go back and read Galatians 5:13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The Indians refer to this nature of these two natures within. The American Indian had this idea that within him lived two dogs, a good dog and a bad dog. And if you ask them what dog survived this constant battle between the two, good and evil, and the Indian would say, the dog I feed. Well, that's pretty much the case. They're right on scripture there. But you say, how to destroy, because I live in the flesh. How do I not feed that flesh? What relates to the old, or what relates to the new nature? Well, to answer this, it's important to understand soul and spirit. Unfortunately, tradition says that man has a soul. Do you have a soul? No, you do not have a soul. Genesis 2:7. Go back and look at it with your own eyes. Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He does not have one. He is one. The reverse is true of spirit. Man is not a spirit, but he has one. That spirit is on loan from God. It returns to God who gave it at death. Now there are those who teach the soul is sinful in itself, and that the soul is the old nature. But you know what? That's not scripturally correct. Because Adam left the hands of the Creator a living soul, perfectly created. Scripture does not teach that the soul has to be annihilated when a person believes in Christ. That would be, in essence, like suicide, to do away with that. Delights of the eyes, delights of the flesh that are a part of the old nature, senses that are given by God from the Heavenly Father to us, they're given for us to enjoy. For example, If I'm on a nice southern beach with a beach chair and a glass of mint julep and I'm listening to Beethoven or I'm watching a video or I'm playing golf or whatever I'm doing, enjoying myself, what nature am I satisfying in that situation? Am I satisfying the old or the new? The flesh or the spirit? Neither. The appeal to the eye and the ears, along with all the senses, is not related to the old or the new, but to man as a living soul. Surprise? What do you like? I like to say, well, what do you like? NASCAR and NFL, along with pizza and beer? Or, you know, maybe opera and ballet with caviar and champagne. It all becomes a question of balance and proportion, legitimate use and not abuse of our soul, right, based on what we have read in these scriptures. Liberty is not a license. As Galatians 13 said, we have been called into liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but of love serve one another. So, relax in the Lord. Don't try to live as though you consist of a body and new nature only. This is lopsidedness and the beginning of what? Legalism. Prudes, obnoxious Christians. Don't be in bondage to these things, but be at liberty. Maybe your New Year's resolution are unrealistic, only you can decide. Now there's one other thing that I'll point to and then I'll be finished. There is one sphere where the senses and the soul are excluded. And we find that in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. This comes from the new nature. It must be spirit and not from the senses. So, ritual, waving of hands, dancing, prayer beads, music, no matter how fine to the senses, all such comes from the dominion of the soul. And you worship him in spirit and truth. Now these senses can be utilized in true worship, but must not originate it. Philippians 3:3, I'll read it to you. For we worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Let me stress again, balance and proportion with the two natures of the soul. We are worshiping Him today in spirit and in truth. As we look at the Word, we comprehend, we try to understand, we apply these things to our lives. That is true worship. Nothing is more attractive to Christ in a life that is in control with God operating through it. The old nature treated as dead, and the body with its senses, or the soul, given its rightful position as a true servant of the believer and not its master. Only then can we walk worthy of the wherein Christ has called us, and that is to love Him and worship Him in spirit and truth. And we're set at liberty from those things that are part of the soul that we no longer have to be subject to because of our knowledge of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your love towards us. How grateful You are, how mindful You are of us, that You've given us the Word whereby we can understand, we can know the difference in the old man and the new man as it relates to Your purposes for the ages. May we all depart here grounded and rooted in Your love for one another, for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.